Or, all right, welcome kids to the Black Lion's Domain. This is the interview segment of the Flowtastic Zone where love shines the brightest, called Black Lion's Airspace. I'm your host, Zachary Shadow. And if it looks like that, I'm actually waking up kids. Yes, I have, because I took me a nice little meow nap. Cat. Thank you very much. All right, so this is also where universal grounding is partaken. Ah, feels good to actually start saying that phrase again. All right, so my guest tonight, I've been chasing this gorgeous little hound for about several months now. Not trying to get her draws, kids. I'm trying to get her to she on my show. That's what I mean. So any of you out there, any kids out there that are thinking of pervert state of mind, get your head out of the gutter. No. No. And plus, she's mega miles away from the states away from, so I cannot even get to her if I even try. So, all right, she's a college professor, a Reiki practitioner, and much, much more. Thank you agreeing to come on my show, Nancy Lush-Sherikins. How are you, my dear?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I understand we had mutual friends from Canada, and I believe you actually were joining this book that's not just by them, but a certain Almighty Blurkins, as I call her, or Blair Hayes for short, which is this book that's 130 women.
Yes.
Woof. I'm still in awe of Blurkins. I don't know when you're releasing that book still. Oh God. Oh, that's way more women than you ever had for She Is Magic Always. But that's not what
And it's a book about motherhood from all aspects.
Especially from NCI, from what I understand. And Larkins, if you are watching this, please correct me if I'm wrong. All right, Nancy, again, thank you for coming on my show. Can you please give my listeners your background?
Oh, Lord. I teach adult basic ed for a local community college here. I've been doing that for going on 3 years. My background is actually in business management, though. I have four college degrees. I'm one semester away from my second master's. I'm a Reiki master in both Usui Ryoho and angelic Reiki master, angelic modalities. I'm an angelic healing practitioner. I'm a certified angel card reader. I'm a divine channel, a medium. I'm a master EFT, TFT tapping practitioner, and I'm in the process of getting my naturopathic certification.
Oh, that's a whole lot, kids. But do not underestimate her. She's actually on the All right, so can you tell me the difference between the Reikis that you actually are?
So Usui Ryoho is the one that Macau Usui brought to Japan, or was given these the signs and the symbols and how to use it. Angelic is where I connect with all 16 archangels. I was born and raised Catholic. All my college degrees are from a Baptist university. So I had that religious background to me. And I've always known that I was gifted, but it was Reiki that opened up all my gifts, because I had suppressed them for many, many years.
I know that story too well. Oh, I had my first spiritual awakening when I was 20. When I was
I was
20.
actually 12.
Whoa. It took a kiss from the woman that would go on to be my first fiance. I was at her house. And then she kissed me. Thinking I'm on an acid trip when it happens. But it's not the case. When I got kissed, I was awake, and I said, "Oh, what's this?" And then I asked my fiance, or what, when to become my fiance. What's going on here? I feel kind of funny. I'm seeing somebody else's memories like they're my own. And she's like, "Well, congratulations, you actually are seeing your own memories." I said, "Oh, shit."
You probably felt like you were drunk or like you'd been drugged.
I was just about to say the next phrase. I was just about to say the next phrase. I feel like I was on an acid trip. I was on an acid trip. I could see this guy painting a fence and this girl standing over him. And she's kind of going, nee, 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 nee. And I said, "Oh, no. What's that? What is that?" And then, lo and behold, the nin-nin-nin-nin-nin was her and the guy painting the fence with me. And I could recognize her every single time. If I hear nin-nin-nin-nin-nin in the back, it's her. It's her. If I got spiritually awakened after that certain point in time. Oh, man. And to think of where she is in life right now. I've been out of my life almost 2 years fully because I'm so bullheaded and she is so passive or pacifist feeling. But hey.
But so I'm a firm believer that everything is a lesson, and she served her purpose by helping you start this awakening cycle.
Oh yes, she did, and she went on, or I pushed her into the arms of another man, and she eventually found her husband. That's the father of her kid. I didn't know that she had no kid until 2019, 2020. My memory starts there. Oh man, kid's now like almost 4 years old. And from what she told me almost 2 years ago, the kid actually has autism. She lost her mother and everything. So
So her
I.
son or her child is protected by Archangel Metatron.
Oh, Jesus. Speaking of which, that's me. Not her child, but I actually am surrounded by Metatron and Saint Germain. Lot. Keep on seeing.
Was the first one that I worked with.
Oh, Metatron. Yes, you were telling me about that months ago. All right,
Yes.
kids. So, what is Aqua Shadow referring to? Okay, so Nancy and I came together not just because of the mighty blurkins and all this other mess. So I was enlisting her services, and she was saying to me, "Oh, you know that you're actually surrounded by Archangel Metatron." I said, "Really? Yeah, you're always around orange. You got this rainbow-esque glow to you. Oh, why don't you actually just go along with it?" I said, "Okay." Okay. So she
He was trying
was.
to get your attention.
Yeah, I'm serving my intention. Oh man. And my intention or my purpose is becoming a little bit more full-blown now. I have endured, like I said to her off camera, kids, I've been enduring 5 weeks of nearly 12-hour work shifts. For my fourth time straight. And I can see the normal everyday stuff being amped up. And I'm saying to myself, uh-oh, I'm noticing what I'm noticing.
That's because you're learning your lesson. When you
Oh,
learn the lesson, you stop the cycle.
Oh, I am. I am. This thing that I'm talking about. Okay, so supposedly the schedule was supposed to start on Thanksgiving Day, and exactly a week from tomorrow, which is Christmas Eve. They, my beloved empire, my beloved employer, Amazon, God bless them, their wisdom, said, okay, congratulations, all you kids out there. You're gonna go and start working mandatory extra time on the 19th. That's it. You gotta be kidding. You said Thanksgiving Day. I even took pictures of this thing that they call vacation freeze, which states the 29th, I mean, not the 29th, the 23rd, all the way to the 24th, November to the snow. But I didn't, bitch, I didn't moan. I said, you know what? All right, let's get it over. They want me for 5 weeks. All right, but I'm making a note. I'm leaving early. Sundays, they can dock me all the pay they want.
You know what JOB stands for, right?
My brain is on fart in the sense, but I actually have
Just
seen.
over broke.
Oh, you goofball one. Yes. Oh, it's just over, bro. Okay. But I was just about to say, I understand what Job is. He's a character in the Bible. And I've been actually reading the Bible a little bit on and off. So I'm actually getting my repentance. I can feel it now. I've survived this storm for over 3 years. Going on 3.5 in April. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So this thing with me, it really started to circulate exactly on the 19th of November. Oh, I got into it with a girl. Not in a good way. No. It's been like a year buildup. And I said, you don't want none of this. You don't want none of this. Mind your steps or something like that. And from that point forward, every single day, there's a constant reminder. And I could feel a tug, say, declare it, Zachary Shaw Watson. Declare it now. Okay. I declared. I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done.
So, sorry, one thing that came to my mind immediately popped. You know, I'm a channel. You said November 19th. So that's 1119.
Yeah.
111 means you're divinely guided. Nine means that spiritual awakenings, compassion, connections with those around you, and even stepping into your soul purpose to do light work, healing, or just to share your knowledge.
Yes, I don't doubt that. I
That is
don't.
why November 19th stands out to you.
Yeah, and that's when everything started to come together. I'm like, oh, all right. I am gonna be done with this. I'm not entering a fifth end of the year with this company. I'm done. And plus, I was talking to a dear friend of, what was it, Friday. And we've came up with the same thing. I've done it all in that company without ever having two or three quote unquote highest titles of the land. I've done it practically 2 years running, meaning 20 and 20, I was a leader. I was quote unquote a subordinate, quote unquote, but people memorized me as a leader. Not these walkie-talkie carrying hats that go around. No, they recognize me because of my work ethic. That I'm staying around where I have to stay around, and I'm feeding them. I fed some folks starting in 2021, at least, through the springtime. And then from that point forward, 22, 23, I'm pulling carts, I'm pulling wood, and whatever else being asked. But the culmination is really building. I gotta leave. I've done it. I have yelled at people. I've consoled people. I've fed people. I've helped them to go along their path. I went along my path. I could see it. And not everything was bad. It wasn't. But I keep feeling it. I keep feeling that I gotta leave. I gotta leave. Because if I get into a fifth version of this thing they call peak, I have no other direction. Even the quote unquote move up into the highest positions of the land, I'm only getting like $2 extra. From what I understand. And that's not enough for me.
Because
Not.
money is currency is energy. You're putting forth all the energy, but they're not reciprocating it. And that's why it's depleting you.
Yeah, the money. Yeah, sure, it's nice. But now it's like the titles. The titles don't even matter. I don't care because I've done it all. I've done it all just at the quote unquote bottom of the rung. I've done it all at the bottom of the rung. Well,
You
people
can give
kind of talk.
anybody a title.
I know.
It's how you treat them that matters.
Oh, I keep on repeating this. I even wrote about it in my book, In the Midst of Chaos, Manifesting Life Through Co-Creation. I even mentioned this. I remember last year leaving the division I ran, and people were recognizing me. They're like, what is he doing down here? Isn't he the leader of the Toe Stacker? Oh, like, yes, I am. But such and such is running this. I was always one of you anyway.
You were showing them that didn't matter what position you held, you were still going to get down in the thick of them and meet them where they were.
Oh, that's right. That leads to another chapter of my book, Getting Shit Done, GSD. People always asking me about my work ethic, asking me about how I eat and everything else. So that for my work ethic, I said something along the lines of this. Do you see them hats over there? These kids over here. Right now, these kids are lax. They are very coy in what they're doing. But yet, the minute that what Amazon calls a process assistant shows up, they will be all over that ass like there's no tomorrow. They will be all over and do nothing but talk, 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 and listen, listen, listen. And then when that hat goes, they ain't doing shit again. And oh God. When the highest position in the land, the operation managers show up, or they will start moving their asses like God himself showed up, or they will kiss it even harder. Me? No. I made a career out of yelling at these hats. at points in time. Not these kids, meaning the higher ups. I made a career out of yelling at them too. They don't fuck with me. I even wrote it in the book like that. They don't fuck with me because I actually move. I move. And I give them no reason to come after me. And they regarded me as leaving because I move. All right, my dear Nancy. Let's see. So how does your supernaturality fit into your college profession here?
So it works really good considering being a medium. I'm very, very intuitive.
Oh, yes, you are.
Let's just say my students do not get away with cheating because no matter how much they try and hide it, I always catch them. It's not going to do them any good anyway when they go to take the GED test. So, I mean, why cheat? But I know that I have a purpose there. I've had just this 8 weeks because our program is broken up into 8 week cohorts. And just this week, or just this 8 week cohort, I've had students have anxiety attacks. I had one student who her brother, younger brother, was murdered 3 years ago, and her mom called her in the middle of class to tell her that they had finally arrested somebody for his murder, and it happened to be his best friend.
Oh, damn.
And she had stepped outside to take the call, and she came back to the door, and I could see she was just beyond herself. She was just crying hysterically. And because of my background, I've been able to even step outside of the classroom, even though it's in the hallway right outside the door, and do deep breathing techniques and just do things like that that I can help calm their nerves and calm them down. I've taught so many of them deep breathing techniques. I've been to help them when they take their test. I've recommended HZ frequencies for them to sleep at, listen to at night when they sleep to help with their anxiety and their focus issues. Because being a GED teacher, and I teach all of the classes for this community college in this town, I have about 140 students at the moment.
Oh.
Because we live in a pretty big, it's the second, excuse me, second largest city in Indiana that I live in. And
Okay.
so I have about, there's actually a waiting list to get into my class.
Oh, you good.
Yeah.
You're great.
And, but I've been able to incorporate things like that. And because I can give Reiki distantly, and you've experienced that,
Oh,
because I was
yes.
able to do a distance Reiki for you. I can send Reiki energy to my students when I see that they're struggling. I can send them that energy. And they, some of them know what I do outside of the classroom. Many of them do not, but they don't understand how my classroom is so calming. And it looks no different than any other classroom. It's just how I balance the energy in there. I make it a point to keep that energy balanced.
Oh, I love that. I can feel the energy right now. Oh, so good that you could cry, kids. But cry in a good way.
Tears are actually healing. And I'm a nerd. I'll admit it. I'm a nerd. I'm constantly learning. I'm a Sagittarius. So we are the healers of the zodiac. We are constantly wanting to learn more, gain more knowledge. And with that, one of the things that I have learned is that different, when you have different emotions, whether it's happy, sad, mad, and you're shedding tears, each one of those tears, based on your emotion, has a different mo molecular makeup, and they are all healing.
This year has been quite a year for me to cry. I really Lost a lot. I'm leaving this year without quote unquote financial clients. I haven't had clients in over a year, but that's okay. I
Because
needed to
this
go.
was supposed to be your year of healing, your year of letting go of the things that did not serve you anymore, so that
Got
you
that.
can make room for the blessings the universe has for you.
Oh, yes. I needed to let them go. I needed to let go of former clients I
And
had.
when our egos get involved, because our ego, our human ego, does not want us to release. You know, we become hoarders, not just of things, material things, but we become hoarders of people. We don't like to lose people. We don't like to just lose anything. And when that happens, we start to fight against the universe. And come hell or high water, if it's what the universe wants, the universe is going to get it. And a lot of times that leaves people crumbling because they're like, I can't believe I lost this person, or this person left my life, or I lost my house, or I lost my car, or I lost my job. Well, it's because it didn't serve you in that point of in time. And it's the universe saying, hey, we've been trying to get you to do this. You didn't do it. We've given you every opportunity to do it on your terms. But when you didn't do it on your terms, we had to step in. And that is the universe's way of making room for all the blessings that they have for you.
Oh, I see that clearly now, especially the last few weeks. Oh, man. I even saw my little self, my youngest self that I can remember. I had this Mickey Mouse doll when I was about, I would say, two-ish age. I wound up receiving a memory about maybe, I think, Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday-ish. If I remember, surgery. I was at work. I was going through the motions, and I saw Mickey Mouse on this guy I don't like. I saw the Mickey Mouse on him, and I don't know what happened, but a memory trick of me being about 2 or 3 years and my older brother taking care of me while my parents were out. I think my parents were maybe I taking care of my little sister, getting her what's this crazy term, dedicated to God or something like that. So my brother and I were alone, and I was walking around with the Mickey Mouse in my hand. Fast forward to the present, I could see that me coming up to me and giving me that Mickey Mouse doll. And I held them both, and I felt more of a clarity. And that little me, he's been showing up practically almost a week now, that version of. So I'm guessing or believing, I'm more so believing it's time for me to leave. It's time for me to really get more in touch with my true self.
And a lot of times, and that's something that I and like I've never studied this. It's just something that came naturally to me to help people connect with their inner child during Reiki sessions. I've been able to help people unlock their heart because a lot of times, if people go through traumatic experiences, especially at a young age, they lock away their inner child. And when we lock away our inner child, that inner child is trapped at that age. We think that we are protecting them. We think that we're protecting that piece of us, that part of us. What we don't realize is that we are actually separating ourselves into two energetically. And we are not fully ourselves, our authentic selves, until we connect with our inner child and we integrate the two again.
Oh my God. I thought my inner child was five. I didn't know he was three. I thought he was five when I first started doing this personal development thing about 4 years ago. I thought he was five, or I
So,
imagined he was.
one thing that I do a lot of is I astral travel a lot in my sleep. I've been doing that now for a couple years. And my mom passed away in November 1st, 111 of 2020. And I struggled with that. Even though I was on this spiritual healing journey, I struggled with that loss. And that was where my ego kicked in. And in my journeys, in my astral travels, I always tend to find myself sitting at this board style table with these different beings. And I've had other mentors of mine who actually don't know each other. And when I tell them this, they're like, Nancy, you're sitting at the table with the ascended masters, and they're giving you nuggets of information. And but what I was told is that they can only give me so much at a time because my human body can't, my human ego and my human consciousness cannot grasp it all at once. It's too much for me. So I can only remember bits and pieces until I can accept that. And then I can move on to the next level of remembering, because it's more than we're capable of understanding. It's more than we're capable of grasping, and accepting if we if they give us all that information at once.
Okay, so I kind of maybe gone through that myself. All right, so the last, I would say, month or two, I've been having vivid dreams where I'm waking up and then just oozing out certain quotes or whatever. I'm saying, oh, because I've been listening to certain things on repeat, and not only listening, but experiencing them. All right, so, a dear friend of mine who's going to be sitting in your seat next week, she introduced me to the works of Neville Goddard earlier this year. And this came because I couldn't get into Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I could not get into it well as a book. I was already familiar to Napoleon Hill in some sense.
See, I'm an
And
Abraham Hicks lover. I
well,
listen
I
to Abraham Hicks's Morning Rampage every morning.
wait a minute. I got you told me about that. I gotta listen to it.
Yep, I listen to it every morning.
Okay, I gotta start listening to that. All right, so back to the Napoleon Hill thing. All right, so Think and Grow Rich. I couldn't get into that book audially because that's about 10 hours, and I only got about 24 hours in a day. I said, oh, so I
Let me give you a little trick.
all right.
So at night, your conscious brain goes to sleep, but your subconscious is awake. Listen to it in your sleep. You'll remember more than what you think.
Okay. I try to go to sleep in silence. All right. So Think and Grow Rich, as much as I was trying to get into it, I said to my friend Kimmy Pierre, I said, I can't get into it. So it's not that it's boring. I just don't have 10 hours to listen to this. I got other things to do. And she said, oh, you can actually listen to this thing called Feeling is a Secret. I said, okay. So I started listening to that practically every single day. Once the 6 month hit, she said, oh, why don't you listen to this lecture that he did called Imagination Plus Faith. That's it. Okay. I'll give it a listen. So it's basically Feeling is a Secret, but more in a live sense. And I said, okay. This is making sense. That's making sense. And works that I've been familiar with by the likes of Mary Morrissey came even stronger. I said, oh, shit. What is this? And recent times, I feel that I am present. I kind of saw it 4 years ago, meaning after I listened to Wayne Dyer. I listened to Wayne Dyer stuff like in full. There was a section in Hay House for their You Can Heal Your Life Summit. Thank you. So I'm listening to Wayne Dyer and he
Louise
met,
Hay.
yeah, by Louise Hay, who I actually thought of Blur Hayes as a modern version of. And I kind of talk about that on all right, so I'm listening to Wayne Dyer, and he mentions the Christ consciousness, the God consciousness that we all should be striving for. That thing kind of eluded me a little bit. And then I started working with our friend Stephanie Mahoney last year, and I was introduced to Elizabeth Clare Prophet and started doing these heart and hand decrees. That thing opened me up even more. Then feeling is the secret and all this other stuff by Goddard. And I see myself and I say, oh shit, I've been doing certain things completely. And I believe I have tapped into the I am presence, that God is present. And I was subconscious. I wasn't conscious of things that I've done, things that I've seen. Like me keeping my job, that is conscious. That is conscious. Why I stayed. It was because I needed to stay. I needed to see that I did make a difference. I needed to see that I have done it all. That I have done it all. But now I gotta leave. Gotta start building myself on the spiritual level. I gotta start coaching people. I gotta start doing quote unquote kind of lectures. I gotta do this podcast. I lost touch with myself. I've been letting go of this podcast, and people keep on telling me, oh, your purpose, part of your purpose is this podcast that you're doing. And I saw myself, my 4-year-old self, my 4 years younger self. And I was talking to them. I said, how did you do it? I just made the time. I made the time. I didn't make no bullshit excuses. I just made the time. I went every single Saturday on this thing and I recorded myself. And yes, sure, I picked up my second fiance on some recordings, but I still got it done. And when I came home from shopping, I edited it, I put it out. If I didn't put it out before I went shopping. And from that point forward, it only grew. Eventually, I left doing solo recordings and I felt like I'd done it all there. Then I started interviewing people and I had a good run of interviews. Then I stopped. I stopped doing this podcast overall. But there was always the
And you know where the I am affirmations come from, right?
Oh, yes, God is.
Saint
That's,
Germain.
yep. Elizabeth Clare Prophet was telling about that. I said, oh, God is, I am. And I realized it. And I was talking to Stephanie Wong about this. I said, okay, God is, I am, and the heart and hand decrees are even more powerful because of the words I am. And you're saying God is.
It's the
God is.
two most, I am is the two most powerful words in the whole English language.
Oh,
Because
yes.
whatever comes after those two words, you start to believe, whether it's positive or negative.
Oh, God. I've been watching myself, especially in this last run of what I'm calling my ending peak. I've been saying out loud, I am done. God is done with this. I gotta move on. I am healthy. I hear a whole lot of people say, I am sick, I'm this, I'm that, and the third. No, them, not me. Not me. Zach Rochelle is very aware. He's very aware of what.
Two I am affirmations that I say every day. And I actually write my affirmations on dry with dry erase marker on my bathroom mirror. So as I'm getting ready in the mornings, as I'm getting ready for bed at night, anytime I go into the bathroom, I read these affirmations. And then I change them up with the full moon and the new moon, because the full moon's all about releasing, the new moon's about manifesting. But two that I say every day religiously is, I am grounded and rooted in my being. Nothing and no one can knock me off balance. And I am healthy, wealthy, and wise.
That is such material, kids, right there. Yes, she is. All right, so let me see. Yeah, affirmations, moving
on. I'm a law
along.
of attraction coach too. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Oh, yeah. All right. So let's talk about that. How did you get into the law of attraction there? Because my story.
I have kind of always, it's like it's been second nature to me. Like I don't remember not necessarily knowing about the law of attraction, but I don't remember not knowing about it. I've always been one that to know that I could speak things into existence. And I always knew, like, I have four kids. I've been a single mom for 15 years. My youngest will be 18 in a couple weeks. And I've always preached to them, you know, be mindful of what you say. Be mindful of what you say, because whatever you say, you're going to speak into existence. And I could always feel when something was not right, when something was going to go wrong. And they're like, Mom, how do you know these things? And I'm like, I don't know. I just know. I just know. But with the law of attraction, one of the biggest things for me with the law of attraction is turning your attitude to an attitude of gratitude. And I kind of lost my way in November of 2020 when my mom passed. I kind of lost that attitude of gratitude. And I took kind of a couple months, and I went through a grieving process, and then I realized, you know, everything's energy. She's still with me. You know, she's just in a different form, because Einstein tells us that energy can't be created or destroyed. It's transferred and transformed. She's just not physically here, but she's energetically here. And I started reading the book, The Magic by Rhonda Byrne. And it goes along with The Secret. And it is a 28-day gratitude process. And this book literally changed my life. It got me back on my path. It taught me, you know, it reminded me not just to attract the things that I wanted in life, but to show gratitude for them. Gratitude for everything, both the good and the bad. Because the good things, yes, they bless our lives immensely, but the bad things, they make room for the blessings. And you have to have the bad things in order to appreciate the good.
And this law of attraction thing, consciously, has been in my life now, I would say 4+ years.
I grew up in a family-owned business, and my mom and dad were very, very devout Catholics. And but I was, I was the Girl Scout, I was the softball player, I was the cheerleader, I was, you name it, I was it. And but being in Girl Scouts at a very, very young age, I'm actually so. My mom, when she was pregnant with me, there was a cosmetics company, kind of like Mary Kay, that was based out of, it wasn't Mary Kay, it was called Marjo Cosmetics. It was based out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And my mom was a car driving director when she was pregnant with me. And they were in a car wreck before she got pregnant. She fractured her back in three places. They told her she'd never walk again, told her she'd never have kids. Then I came along. Like, she got pregnant with me shortly after she learned to walk, and she learned to walk again within 2 months. And they told her, you'll never carry this baby. And, she carried me almost a month overdue. And when she was laying flat of her back from this wreck, she earned the top sales tier in the company that year because she was selling lipsticks to the nurses that came in, selling, makeup to the nurses. And so it was kind of ingrained in me. And one of the things that I have learned through astral travels, is that when we are in the womb, we receive all the trauma and the drama that our mothers went through because energy is passed down to us. It's not just biology and genetics, it's intertwined in this womb. It's energy that's been passed down from generations. But we receive, because especially females, because we carry the same hormones that the mom carries, we receive all the trauma and drama that they received while they were pregnant with us. And my mom was going through all of that, but she was also a fighter. She was a warrior. And she, if she wanted something, she worked her ass off to get it. She manifested it like it was nothing. And so starting very young, I was, she put me in Girl Scouts and everything. And then she made the mistake of becoming my leader. And that year, I sold over 500 boxes of cookies. Like first grade. And she, after that, she's like, yeah, we're finding another leader. But that was me. I mean, I would talk to everybody because they wanted to get to know everybody. And, I was not, most kids are scared of their own shadow. I wasn't afraid of anybody because I felt like I had known them my whole life. Every time I came in contact with somebody, it was like I knew them and I couldn't explain it. But my mom was a channel as well. But my mom was, she suppressed her gifts. And it wasn't until she died that I found out that I wasn't the only one who knew about her gifts. My kids did. My niece and nephews knew about them, but she hid it from my dad because my dad was the one who made us suppress them. And so I feel that very deeply, I feel that my mom was a law of attraction coach, or like she believed in the law of attraction. She knew, like, she used to tell me this story about how she met my dad when they were 15 and 16. And then they one time. And then when they were 20 and 21, they reconnected because my mom was a nurse's aide and my grandma was in the hospital. And my grandma kept saying, I've got the perfect son for you. And at the time, my mom was engaged to somebody else. And my dad was in the military, stationed in Missouri. And of course, my mom lived in Indiana. And my grandma kept saying, I've got the perfect son for you. And mom's like, well, I'm engaged. I'm engaged. I'm not, So dad came home to visit grandma at the hospital, and my mom walked in. And they ended up, mom broke off her engagement. My dad was engaged to somebody else. He broke off his engagement. They went on a date. They went on three dates. and got engaged on the third date. And they were married 9 years. They got married. So they went on a date in April, a date in May, a date in June. And mom always said since the time she was 15 that this was the man I was going to marry. But they had lost contact because my dad left and went in the military. And you know, she didn't back then, you know, our county was fairly large. And so mom didn't drive, you know, it was just back. Let's see, mom was born in 40, dad was born in 38. So my dad is 85 years old. So, you know, back then they didn't have a lot of communication really. And so dad comes home. They meet at the hospital. You know, they go on this date. They go on the second date. They go on the third date. He proposes in June. They got married in September. My mom converted to Catholic. She was not Catholic. So she got baptized. She converted to Catholic. And on the, they were supposed to get married September 9th. And she took her first communion because back then you could not get married in a Catholic church unless you went through all the sacraments first and officially became a Catholic to get married in the church. And so she did all the steps so that she could marry my dad. And on the communion rail, when she's receiving her first communion, she has appendicitis.
Not there.
So they had to postpone the wedding a week. And they didn't do laparoscopy back then. That she had the stitches, the staples, everything. And they got married the very next week.
Wow.
And they were married 59 years. So I know without a shadow of a doubt that my mom, without knowing it, practiced the law of attraction. Because she manifested this man into her life at the age of 15. And they got married when when she was 20. And they had lost contact in between then.
This law of attraction. Okay, so it's been in my life consciously since 2019, but now that I'm looking at my life from retrospect, I think it's been around even longer because my mother is a huge Oprah freak. So Oprah was known for interviewing people. Unbeknownst to me, I thought in 2020 I was introduced to her, meaning Louise Hay. I thought I was introduced to her teachings then. No, that was not the case. That was not the case. I believe she was on Oprah in the 90s. And I caught that episode as my mother is watching. I caught it. I suppressed that memory. I don't remember what date it was exactly, but I know Louise Hay because Louise Hay had short hair at that point in time. And then when I finally saw that image, I said, okay, I've been pulling this stuff off a little bit quickie. And now I'm doing more of this stuff in my own life. And I'm being guided. And we keep on, or I repetitiously bring up my job. Like, what else can I do? Not in the company. I'm done. I'm done. But outside the company with money.
The sky is the limit.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. Yeah, with the money, I'm starting to see that I can get myself out of New York City. I keep on seeing this vision of myself going down to Philadelphia and April.
Maybe that's when
It's
you're going to meet Summer.
I Okay, kids out there, if you're actually laughing in the background and asking a little summer. All right, so Nancy, I encoded her talents to help me have Reiki and tarot readings and whatnot. I mentioned something about this energetic presence that is following me, telling me that it loves me and everything else. And I know my dear friend, the Angel of Mercy, anywhere. That's not her. Some people try to tell me that this is maybe my grandmother or one of my grandmothers or whatnot. That's not her. Now that's not her. That's
I think
energetic
it's
presence.
somebody, I seriously think it's somebody manifesting you into their life.
Yeah, I believe so too, because sometimes I swear I can feel somebody writing my life story. And it's not me. It's not me. It's a woman.
On a parallel universe.
It's a woman. A woman is literally writing my story. Like, as far as me being physically active, she's like, oh, there's this guy. He's adamant. He's not letting go of what he's doing. He is thick in it. He does not waver. He's unwavering with what he eats, with what he drinks, with whatever else he's doing. And I am doing more things in this presence that you're calling summer, is coming out even bigger. And I keep on seeing this vision in my mind. I've been stuck here in New York practically 4 to 5 years. 4 years, let me say, that will be exactly on my own. I've been stuck like since 2019. As far as getting out with another human being, it's been 5 years. Almost 4 years. Almost 4 years. Exactly when we hit March. So
A whole
I.
lot longer than that for me.
Oh, yes. So I actually have been letting the dictations of the world manifest. And it got me to this point now. I have not been out of New York in so many years. And people, when I tell them this story, they're like, oh shit, seriously? You need to get out there. You need to have a life that's not just work and home and grocery shopping. You need to get out. Even my youngest coach, my friend Karen was telling me, she's like, you need to get out. You need to get out. But now it feels even stronger, this presence that I gotta get out of New York. I gotta get out of New York. And there's something happening in April, and it's requiring my presence to be known. I gotta get out of
So
that.
when I did Zach's card reading, it came up the woman's name, Summer, and, or at least the word Summer, and I it felt like a feminine presence. And we were in summer when it happened. So we didn't know, we were talking because you had asked me, is it during the summer or is it a person? And I'm like, I feel it's a person. And but like I'm one of these when I'm doing a reading or a Reiki session, when I channel somebody, I get their name. Like they will give me their name. And I've had people, energies come up to me like a bullhorn and scream it in my ear if they really need to get my attention. And but yeah, summer kept coming up. And so yeah, I feel like maybe I do still feel like that she's the one that you're gonna meet.
Well, I haven't met anybody named Summer out here in New
Maybe you're
York.
not in the right place. That maybe that's why you're supposed to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. And plus, again, I've been here in New York for so long. It's my been my life just staying in this house with my mother, with my brother, and now my deceased father. I gotta do something different next year. I even was being led to travel in other outlets. Our dear friend Stephanie, who I keep on bringing up on, I was in her $1 million program this year. And our friend Tracy Van Fleet, who did the
Soul astrology.
thank you, did
I'm
this
really not
show.
reading your mind, I promise.
Oh, I know you're not. Anyways, back to the story at hand. So Tracy did the report. I read it, and part of my purpose is for me to travel. I let myself be in this house for too long. I let myself just accept the world's circumstances.
It's setting those limiting beliefs. And you set the limiting belief that you needed to be there.
Because I didn't want to be masked. I didn't want to be masked. I didn't want to be held down by quote unquote society's norms. I said it out loud when New York Comic Con 2021 happened, and I had two tickets. I had two tickets to go, or was it an NMEMYC? One of these freaking comic conventions. I said, I'm not leaving until I know I can be unmasked. I can't do this shit every single day like I do for work. I can't just deal with being masked on. I gotta be able to have fun. I gotta be able to be free. So if it even takes me a few more years, I will go along with the punches. I will deal with it somehow. And lo and behold, over 2 years passed. And now it's been 4 years since I did anything. Like on a nighttime basis, that's not this podcast or me working or going to the grocery store. So it feels right that I hold on to this job a little bit longer, but I can feel that before June hits, that I will be more aligned in what I'm supposed to do. And that's something like you are doing. That's like me having this podcast, having my e-store. I keep on seeing the e-store for this show. I
Well,
keep.
and as light workers, we are commissioned here on this earth to spread love and light and to lift up the energies of others. And if we constantly shut ourselves in, we're not doing our purpose.
Oh, no, I'm not. And I stopped doing my purpose, and we're getting ready to wrap up. I stopped doing what I'm doing partially because of family time. When he was alive, my father said something to me that ate at me and never left, but fueled me. It fueled me. What you do is bullshit, Zach. What you do is bullshit, meaning maybe my beliefs in the government, maybe my beliefs that I don't have to follow the struggle of having to work my tushy until I'm in my 50s or 60s, that I can help people with health, coaching, and other stuff while I'm young and be
And
happy.
people though don't understand what we do because they don't understand it. They want to put those limiting beliefs on us and make us doubt our gifts because they don't understand and they're not willing to understand.
Oh, my.
And my mom used to, she was the same way when she was alive because she wanted me to suppress my gifts like she did. And because they didn't want us to look at what people look at me like I had three heads or like I belonged in a mental ward. And, but I knew that I had a purpose, and I knew that the purpose was much bigger than me. And it wasn't something that I could shut in, because no matter how much I tried to shut it in, the universe was kicking me in the ass, telling me, get off your ass and do it.
Yeah, and I see that for me. That's why I'm going to Philadelphia in April. Somehow, some ways, I will make it out there. I keep on seeing evidence, and your background is one. Your fingernails are another. I even see just color, and I know, okay, I'm in the right zone. So orange is a Metatron, correct? So I see that a lot. Matter of fact, I'm sitting with it in two forms, razor blade, house key, and purple. I have this lovely jam that a friend of mine made, and it's purple. I
Purple's
got,
another one of his colors.
oh yeah, a rainbow, right? Ain't one
So,
of
Sandalphon is his twin brother, Archangel Sandalphon. They are the only two archangels that walk the earth as humans. Metatron was Enoch in the Bible, who was Noah's great great grandfather. Sandalphon was Elias in the Bible.
Whoa. Okay, so that
So they
makes
were the
sense.
only two archangels who actually walked the footsteps that we walk every day. They walked as humans.
Man, I'm not denying. There's been points in time where I literally needed to calm down, and then I saw those colors, and I said, "Why do I keep on hearing the word Metatron, Metatron, Metatron?" I thought I was going crazy hearing the word Metatron, looking at purple, not orange, purple. I thought Metatron was purple, so I kept on hearing his name. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And then I contacted Stephanie Mahoney, and she's like, you got them kind of confused, but they're talking to you regardless. I said, okay, I'm in the right zone, in the right zone. And speaking of the right zone, kids, we're getting ready to get out of here, because this lovely hun's got something to do, and I got a few hours left before the final frontier. The final frontier.
Before you have to go back to the JOB.
Oh, go back to the JLB, go back to what people will call hell in a cell, people will call the world, or my employer will call the World Series, what's this crazy thing? Stanley Cup, NBA Finals, and other lovely things. All right, so one more piece of business before we leave. How did you get into that 130 author's book?
So Tracy Van Fleet actually invited me into it. And because it was about motherhood from different perspectives, like I said, I've been a single mom for 15 years. I have four kids. They're 29, almost 25, 23, and almost 18.
Oh wow, adult people.
And I didn't even start back to college until after I got divorced. And they were 14, 8, 9, and 2 when I got divorced. And so I kind of wrote about, my journey through motherhood, through working full-time, part-time, working many part-time jobs to keep them out of the system while going to school full-time and still graduating with honors. And because I wanted to show my kids that you can do anything with determination and being resilient, no matter what life threw at you and how it tried to knock you down, and just showing them that we are worth so much more, and that not to let the world put a thumb on them and tell them less. And so that was what I wrote about, was my journey through motherhood and how I, because I've been a mom since right before I turned 21. And so I wrote about my journey of not just growing up as a young mom, but growing up as a single mom with four kids and still being able to accomplish all of this and having successful children. And I just, it was just my way of pouring out, because I know there are other single moms. One of my classes is nothing but single moms. That is all that this entire class is. And I wanted to be an inspiration for some of those who have been, who may be walking in the shoes that I was walking in, and showing them that you can do it. You know, yeah, it seems hard, but you know, it's just a moment in our life. And we have billions, trillions of moments. Not let one, moment of time define us. And so that was what I wrote about.
And you made a wise decision doing so because your story needs to be told. And I couldn't think of anybody better to actually go to and through than Blair Hayes. Yeah, sure. She's my mentor. She's my friend. And now I actually say it out loud. So the sandbox crush, but still.
Well, and I've had so many people tell me, because of the things that I have been through in my life, not I've been through a lot of shitty things, a lot of things that a lot of people could not handle. But I know that that's where my strength came into play. And I've been told by many, many people that I needed to write a book, and I never made the connection on where to even begin. And then when I was asked to write this chapter in this book, I'm like, okay, that's my first step. Now I'm just waiting for the next step to come into play. And because I know that my story needs to be told, and I know that I've been through the things that I've been through in order to help others.
So have I, and that's where in the midst of chaos 2 is being born right now. All right, kids out there, this was absolutely fun, and I said this to my friend RJ about a few months ago when I started trying to get back on the pony of this. Feels good to be back. So it's time to.
And this is my first podcast.
And kids out there, her cherries, to be funny and a little bit of pervy. Her cherry is so lovely. So lovely. All right. So with that said, my dear Nancy LaShare, your manifesting future, what does it entail?
First, like I said, I would like to write a book. But I would like to see, because I do own my own holistic practice on top of teaching. I would like to see that grow. I know it will. I know that I'm supposed to be healing people on a much larger scale, but you have to start small. You have to start somewhere.
Ah, that's lovely manifestations of the future. And that's absolutely true. I feel like I'm starting to manifest doing that myself. All
You gotta
right.
make your feet, you gotta dip your toe in the water before you can just jump in.
Oh, I actually not only go toe first, but I actually take me a cold shower almost every single day, my dear. Anyways, if not now, dear. Within the next week, can I bother you for up to three people you think I can interview on this interview, say?
Absolutely.
All righty. What can I, Zachary Shiloh or Zachary Shiloh Watts, depending on the preference, do for you going forward, dear?
I would say maybe just to, in your best words, explain what I do, because what I do can't be, it can't be seen. It has to be felt. So maybe, tell people what it felt to have a Reiki session, a distance Reiki session, because most people think that it has to be in person.
Okay,
And
that's fair.
just introduce me and let people know from a personal perspective what I do, like how you felt afterwards, because I can explain it all day long, but until you've actually been through it, it's really hard to explain.
That's true. That's true, my dear. All right. I believe I hit everything. Now, the true outro. All right, kids out there, thank you very much for being part of the show. I truly appreciate it. There is one goal, one aim, one rope, one focus, one track, and one mind. And that's loving. Even if it sounds like I was venting or she was venting, we're passionate. That's all we are. We're passionate. I'm passionate about these fools I live with. I'm passionate about my writings. I'm passionate even about my former employer to be. I am affirming it. Former employer to be. Present employer to be nice. To be nice. I'm passionate about them. I'm passionate about all of you out there, the kids out there. Even if I'm not recording this goofball podcast, I'm passionate about it. It's just that I need time away, and I can't come on here and say it. Oh, I need time to go. I just gotta feel the motion, run the motion. With that said, the next time I record, I believe I should be having one of Kim Pierre from the Elite Publishing House Magic series and my co-author in a book called Wish Upon a Star. And what's that, kids? You're gonna be able to find out next week when I do record. So thank you very much to Nancy for coming on again, and I will see all of you next time on the Flowtastic Zone, where love shines the brightest, called Black Lion Zero. Take care. Bye-bye.